Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Mem Beis. Begin on daf Mem Alef Mem Beis, five lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was discussing a halacha regarding when one person was machzik on a field and asked him, what are you doing here? He says, well, I bought it from this other guy who I assume bought it from you. So then we had this discussion between Reb Chiya and Rav regarding what is required of him. Because on some level, as we learn in the Mishnah, Tanina Lekech, Tanina Leyerish, we make claims for them where they don't know how it came from that person who's the original owner to the one they bought it from or the one they inherited from. But we make those claims for them, and that was what Reb Chiya described, that has to have witnesses that can prove at least that the one that he bought it from was there at least one day, then we'll make the claim for him and that, okay, it makes sense that the guy you bought it from was legitimately there and that he probably bought it from the original owner. So the Gemara continues in the related discussion regarding when it's not just one person that's claiming he bought it from the original owner, but there's a few individuals on the way. As the Gemara explains, Shleish Lekuchis, if there are three consumers, in other words, there was a field that there are witnesses who could testify that this field had always belonged to Reuven. But then, Shimon, a different person, comes along and is machzik in the field for a year, claiming that he bought it from Reuven. Then, Shimon goes and sells it to Levi with a document, and then Levi's machzik in it for a year. Then, at the end of that year, Levi goes and sells it to Yehuda, and he also writes to him a document that he's selling it to him, as Igmo later on explained, that that's the case that we're talking about. And then he's machzik it for a year. So you have a total of 3 years that three individuals are machzik in the field that was originally Reuven's. Then comes Reuven, and he contests the field, and he says, I never sold this to Shimon. Now Yehuda, he's the last one now, because Shimon claims he bought it from Reuven, who sold it to Levi, who sold it to Yehuda. Now Yehuda has it now at the end of 3 years of other people being machzik in this field. And he claims, wait a second, amongst the three of us, we were machzik in this field for 3 years and you never protested. And Shimon, who claims he bought it from you, we're all coming from his rights. And he doesn't have to have been careful in his documentation more than 3 years. And therefore, he doesn't have to prove that he bought it from you because we're coming from him. And had he been holding on to this for 3 years, he would have been having the rights and you would have not had a claim because you didn't protest. So therefore, me, Yehuda, who I'm coming from, Levi, who's coming from Shimon, it's after 3 years, you have no rights to it. Now, Reuven, however, responds and he says, it's not true. You want to know why I didn't protest? It's because neither one of you individuals ever were machzik in it, ever took possession of it for a period of 3 years. Rather, each one of you was there just for a year. So therefore, I didn't concern myself with protesting because I saw, and it seemed to me, that, yeah, each one of you were afraid to take possession of this field the way people usually take possession, which is for a period of using it for 3 years. And I didn't know that the reason why each one of you was only staying there a year was because you were selling it to each other at the end of the years. And therefore, I had only assumed that you were machzik it for 1 year, and therefore I didn't protest, because anyone that wants to claim they're taking possession of me has to have it for 3 years. So that's Reuven's claim back. And that says the Gemara, in spite of that mitztarfin, the lekuches, the consumers, they do combine together to create a loss for the original owner of Reuven. And the reason for that is, as the Gemara is going to shortly clarify and qualify, is because since each one sold it to the other one with documentation, as Rav will shortly say, so the witnesses in the document get the word out. So therefore, Reuven did hear, and he knew that it wasn't just each one's afraid and the only one was there for a year, that it was being sold to the other ones. And the fact that he didn't protest, it's his loss. Now, but however, obviously, is if it wasn't being sold to the other individuals with the documentation, then yes, Reuven could claim that the reason why I didn't protest was because neither one of you were machzik a full chazaka of 3 years, and you didn't do a normal type of a chazaka, as the Gemara said similarly on Daf Chav Tes and Beis, when two partners had bought a maidservant, one year one, the other one year two, the other one back three, and then four, and then five and six, in what's called bedilug, that it's not going to be a chazaka because it's not the way people usually do a chazaka, which is 3 consecutive years. Now, Amar Rabbi qualifies this halacha as we just mentioned. He says, but v'kulam b'shtar, but all these sales were done with the documentation, which, as Rashbam points out, meaning it's talking about Yehuda's purchase and Levi's purchase, that those are with documentation. But Shimon's purchase from Reuven, which he's claiming he bought from Reuven, the Ma'ar, from the one that's contesting it, there, most definitely, there's no documentation, because if he had a shtar, then obviously Reuven cannot contest. But we're talking about that he, of course, would have a chazak over there 3 years, but it's just that Reuven's claiming, well, yeah, but he didn't hold on to it for 3 years. He gave it to Levi, then to Yehuda, and I didn't know that it was a sale. I thought each one's just doing it for 1 year. And that says, Rav, that he cannot make such a claim, because since Shimon sold it to Levi with a document, and Levi sold Yehuda with a document, he knew about it because the witnesses get the word out if it's written in the document, and therefore it's three combined years which Reuben loses the rights to it, and Yehuda could keep it. Now, on this halacha of Rav, asks the Gemara, Lememr the Sav Rav, is that to say that Rav holds, and therefore he qualifies the halacha of the three lekuchis being mitzarf, that the witnesses will get the word out? Rav says it has to be that they had done it with a documentation. So it sounds like the Rav is saying, Dichtar isle kala, that when you have witnesses who sign in a document, then, because since the witnesses gather and they write it and they sign it and there's papers, so then everyone hears about it and then the word gets out. And therefore the Reuben can't claim he didn't know that it was being sold. But it sounds like, but ve'edim, if let's say it was sold with witnesses, not in the documentation, sounds like from Rav, then less lukala, then the word wouldn't get out, and then Reuben could claim that he didn't know, and therefore he wasn't meicha. He didn't know it was being sold. He thought just each one is doing it for 1 year individually. And that is the Gemara, but v'amar Rav, it seems to be contradicted by something else Rav said. Rav said, ha'meicha sad be'edim. If someone sells a field in front of witnesses, and he accepts upon himself for the sale responsibility, which is if anything happens, he tells the consumer to the field, let's say one of my creditors come and take it, I'll reimburse you. So said Rav, so Gaiva, so then the consumer could then go ahead and collect from the one who sold it to him, if let's say one of his creditors do end up taking away from him or something happens to it, from Menachasim Shabadim, even from properties which were indebted to him, which but then had someone else extended a lien on it, or he had sold his properties to other people after this original person had bought the property which he had bought with liability, with responsibility, he can go ahead and collect from those properties which were later sold after him. Now, the reason for that is because since there are witnesses regarding the sale, so the word gets out, and therefore any subsequent buyers of this seller's property who had already sold a piece of property with this responsibility that he insured that buyer should have left enough land by the seller according to the amount of the insurance that he insured for this guy. And since they didn't care and they bought it, they knew that it's going to be collected from them, and therefore this lekeach could even collect from the chasam shabadim. But one thing is that we see from Rav is that even if you have witnesses without documentation, just as it was done in front of witnesses, that the word does get out. So that contradicts Rav's previous halacha that he said, no, the word would only get out if it's the witnesses are in documents and not just witnesses by themselves. So that the Gemara answer is not a contradiction. Hasam over there, lekuches, regarding this last case of Rav, when there are other purchasers who came after this original buyer had bought it with insurance, although that you're right, that as Rav's previous halacha had said, that when something is sold just with witnesses, without a documentation, there's not an automatic coil. It's not automatic that the word gets out. It's only if you do your due diligence and you check into it and you look into it, then you'll be able to find out and say, wait, I think he sold it because witnesses are there. So there were people who witnessed it. It's just not like in a document which there's an actual concrete object which gets the word out. So there answers the Gemara over there by the consumers who came after this original property was sold with insurance. Says so you can see on top of Membezim and Alf, Inu Avsidir Anafshayu. They ultimately caused the loss to themselves because they threw their money out for no reason, that they bought this property after that the original property from the seller was sold with insurance, which then could be collected from any other. There's a lien on any properties that the seller has at that time, which is from those properties that they buy, because they should have looked into it. They should have seen, did he sell any properties before when we're coming to buy with insurance? And they didn't do, so they were their loss. Now, but regarding the first halacha of Rav, regarding when there's three lekuches, we shouldn't create a loss for the original owner, the ma'ar, who is contesting this chazaka of Yehuda, because since, if, as Rav was saying, there was no documentation in these sales, so there's no automatic, the word doesn't automatically get out over there, and it's not Reuben's responsibility to have to check into it. Because he could very simply say, wait a second, the reason why each one's only here for 1 year on my property is because they're afraid. And that's why neither one of them is having 3 years. It's not his responsibility to check into it, say, wait, maybe they sold it and I just don't know about it. That's not his job. It's his field. And unless it's obvious that they're taking being machzik, then it doesn't have to be meicha. In contrast to lekech, it's your loss. Why are you going and doing an act that's going to put yourself in a precarious situation since you didn't do the due diligence, although it's not a kolam mela, but the word is there, so therefore then it's going to be the loss of the lekuches. So it's true that there's no overt koil when it's not written in the shtar, but there is which is called a koil mele, but there is somewhat of a koil, and therefore it is the responsibility of the kuchis, but not the responsibility of the ma'ar. Now the Gemara asks on the second halacha of Rav that we introduced to ask on the first halacha of Rav. The Gemara asks, "Umiomer Rav Hachi, does Rav really say that when someone sells a piece of land with insurance in front of witnesses without documentation?" So the second halacha of Rav said that now that one who is insured could go ahead and collect, if it's taken away from him, from other properties which other consumers had bought afterwards, which he had a lien on those properties. On that, asks the Gemara, did Rav really say that? But what's not, we learned in the Mishnah at the end of this Masechtan of Kof Ein Hei Amar Aleph, that seems to contradict this halach of Rav. The Mishnah says, Hamalve es chaveri bishtar. If someone lends his friend money in a document, which generally when a loan is written in the documentation, it's done with insurance. And actually the halach even if it's not written in the document that it's with insurance, if you left it out, we ascribe that to a scribal error. And it's as if it is written that he's taking responsibility and insuring that loan. So says the Mishnah, so gave him the chasim mishabadim. So let's say the borrower defaults and the chapter 11 doesn't have any money. So the lender could go and collect whatever properties were there at the time of the loan, even if they were sold off. He can go and collect from those encumbered properties from all those purchasers who purchased after the date of the loan. Now, meaning obviously we're talking about a case where the borrower, as we said, doesn't have any available assets for the lender to collect from. So then he can go to nechasim mishabadim. Now, but alidei edim. But if, let's say, it was through witnesses the loan, in other words, it was not written in the document, then gave him the chasim nechayrin. Then he collects only from available properties that the borrower still has, which Rashbam explains, obviously we'd be talking about where the borrower admits that he didn't pay it up, because actually the halacha is that if someone lends his friend money with witnesses, as long as it wasn't written in the document, then he doesn't have to pay him up in front of witnesses, so he could claim that he paid it up. But he's admitting that he still owes it to him. But one thing we see from the Mishnah is, but from Mishabadim, if it was the loan was only in front of witnesses, not in the document, that then the lender cannot collect from the Chasim Mishabadim, because witnesses not in the document does not have a koil. And we don't say that Lekuchas caused a loss to themselves, which directly contradicts what Rav had said. Rav had said that there is a koil, although it's not an automatic koil, but there's enough of a koil, and therefore the later consumers create a loss. So if there is, even with Eidim, without a shtar or koil, so why is halacha that the lender cannot collect from the chasim mishabadim if it was done with Eidim, even though it wasn't in the shtar? We should say that lekuchas caused a loss to themselves. Now, it continues the Gemara. Mechitim, if you're going to say that Rav Tanu Hu Palag, oh, it's not a difficulty for Rav. Rav, on some level, was a Tanu, was the beginning of the times of the Mairam. He was still part of the Tanoic era, and he could disagree, he could dispute the Mishnah on Daf Kof Ayin Hayim and Alf. And that asks the Gemara, but it's not true because even Rav himself contradicts the teaching that we quoted from the previous daf. For Rav and Shmuel Damar Tavai, because Rav and Shmuel both said the following halacha: Milva al peh, an oral loan. In other words, that is someone that lends his friend money in front of witnesses, but it's oral because it's not written in a document. Said Rav, Eina Gaiva cannot be collect from Mishabadim, meaning Loimin a Yershim, not from the inheritors of his debtor. Beloimin al-kuches, and not from those who bought from his debtor. Now, the reasoning for this halacha, Rav Shmuel, is explained at the end of this, of the Masechta, in regards to this concept of shibud being lav deiraisa, where since it's an oral loan, although there's that does not create a biblical obligation of a lien on the debtor's properties. But the Rashbam does point out that we actually do not paskin like this of Rav Shmuel, but rather like the Gemara there explains. And this is by Kofayin Vav Manal for the end of the Masechta, that actually the halacha is that he could collect from the Yarshim, but he cannot collect from the Lekuchis. But one thing we see is that even Rav himself agrees to the halacha of that Mishnah of Kofayin Heyman Aleph, that he says that by an oral loan, meaning if it was in front of witnesses not written in the document, you cannot collect from the Chasim Mishabadim. So he himself then contradicts his own teaching, where here he said that Lekuchis, it is their fault, because witnesses, even without a document, the koil is there on some level, so Lekuchis should have known, and therefore it's their loss. Yet, so then why cannot a lender collect from the Chasim Mishabadim? So that the Gemara answers, Milva azvini karamis, what you're asking from the halacha of a loan, whether the Mishnah Kofayin Heyman Alf or Rav himself, with both agreeing to the same premise, You're asking on Rav's other halacha, which was talking about a sale? That's not a contradiction. The previous halacha of Rav that said that the lekuchas are going to lose out was talking about when someone sells his field with insurance to a buyer, which then he could collect from the chasim mishabadim. In contrast to Rav in the Mishnah Kaf Ayin Hei Menaf was saying that regarding a loan with witnesses, that then the lender cannot collect from the chasim mishabadim. Says the Gemara, that's not a difficulty. There's a difference between a loan, where we're saying that that's not the problem of lekuchas, it's not there, they cannot be collected from, in contrast to a sale, as the Gemara explains. Milva ki ko yozef, regarding a loan, when is it lended, bitzina ko yozef, it's tendered in private, in secrecy. That is, the borrower asks from the lender that word should not get out that he's borrowing money. Why? So that his property should not lose value and go down in price. In other words, so that if he's going to have to sell his property, that people should not know that he's pressed for money, as we see, oh, he's borrowing money, and then no one's going to give him a fair price for his value. They're going to say, let's just wait, it's going to go down, he's desperate, he's going to need to sell. So since it's on the private, so that's why the Mishnah Kuf Ayin Hei and Rav are saying regarding the loan that it's not the problem about lekuchas. What should they have done? How should they know to have inspected and found out? No one will say, even if it's done in front of witnesses, because they're asking that no one should find out about it. Therefore, we say in such a situation, you cannot collect from the chasim mishabadim from those later lekuchas. But Zvini, regarding Rav's halacha from the previous stuff, regarding a sale, oh, man de zav in Arab, but for hesi zav, when someone makes a sale, he makes it with a lot of noise. He makes it out in the open. Now, why does he do that? He wants the word to get out so that people should jump and say, oh, someone's selling his property. Did you hear? I mean, everyone's going to come and try it. And then it ups the price, which is better for the seller. So in such a situation where he already sold a piece of property, then if some other people then buy other properties of him, which already have a lien from the insurance he sold to the first guy, it's their own loss, because had they looked into it and done some due diligence, they would have heard from people that, yes, wait, whoa, don't buy from this guy so fast. His properties have a lien from this other guy. And since they didn't, therefore, it is their loss. And that's what Rav said, that regarding such an insured sale, he could collect from the chasim mishabadim. Now, the Gemara continues, Tarnabon Ulina Braisa, that says, like Rav's halacha, that achala ha'av shana, if a father ate from a piece of property, consumed the utility of it for a year, and then he died, and then vaben, his son, then consumed the utility after him for shtayim, for 2 years, and the original owner, the ma'ar, the one who's contesting now, did not protest within those 3 years, so that's the bris, so that is considered a valid chazak. In other words, like Rav had said, that we combine the 3 years together, although it was more than one person. Now, the reason for that is because regarding inheritor, everyone understands that he's what's called karadavu. He's like the knees of his father. He's like an extension of his father. And therefore, the ma'ar cannot come and claim, wait a second, you know, neither one of you had it for 3 years, and therefore I didn't protest. No, because everybody knows that it's normal for a son to inherit a father, and that's just an extension of the father. So it's similar to Rav's halacha that said that when you know that it was being sold because it was in document. Here also, when it's although it's the son, it's a different person, but obviously that's just an extension of the father. So too, if Ha'av Shtayim Ba'ben Shana, let's say the father had it for 2 years, then he died, then his son then consumed the produce for the third year. Or Ha'av Shana, father had it for 1 year, Ba'ben Shana, the son had it for 1 year, V'Halekeach Shana, meaning that the son had sold it after 2 years in a document to a third person, to a consumer, and again, it was a documentation, like Rav had said. So there also, Harizu Chazaka, that's going to be a valid Chazaka. Because it was 3 years that he knew about it, and although it's different people, it's not a problem because he knows that it's all coming in an extension from the original person, and therefore it's going to be a Chazaka. On this, asked the Gemara, Lememra de Lekeach, is that to say that someone who buys from a Yairish, where we're talking about that someone bought from the son, the inheritor, is Lekala? That the word gets out, and that is the Ma'ar should have protested, and because he didn't protest, so that's what the Bryce is saying, that's going to be a Chazaka. On that, as the Gemara, but Vermini seems to be contradicted by the following Bryce. Now, Rav Ram just points out the reason why the Gemara didn't ask this on Rav, who essentially really Rav is really saying the same idea, so why is it waiting to ask on this Bryce? It's because Rav's actual case was talking about when one Lekech bought from another Lekech, who bought from another Lekech, who bought from this guy. Now, therefore, the Gemara preferred to rather ask this Braisa on this first Braisa, because both of them are talking about when Lekech buys from a Yerish, who got it from his father. In contrast to Rav, who is same idea, lekech from lekech, but it's not the same exact. So they prefer to ask it on this brisa, which is talking about lekech getting it from a yerush. Brisa says as follows: Achala, if a machzik, and this is the opposite way. The first brisa is talking about when these other distinct individuals are the ones being machzik. Here the brisa is saying that to the other way around. There is one machzik, and the original owners are different people. So achala, if the machzik consumes the produce befnei ha'av, when the father is still alive, who it was originally his property, and he consumes it, this machzik shana for 1 year. In other words, and he's claiming, that's his taina, that he bought it from the father. Ubefnei ha'ben, and then he consumes the produce in front of the son, meaning after the death of the father, for shtayim for 2 years. Or let's say befnei ha'av shtayim or befnei ha'ben shana. When the father was still alive, he had it for 2 years. Then when the father died, he added the third year of the chazakah in front of the son. Or let's say, b'fnei ha'av shana, this machzik had consumed it when the original owner of the father was alive for 1 year. Then b'fnei ha'ben shana, then when the inheritor, who the son inherited, this guy was still eating it, the machzik, the second year. U'b'fnei lo'keach, and then there was someone who purchased the properties from the son with documentation. This machzik had eaten it in that in front of the lekeach shana for a year or two, for the third year. Says the Braisa, Arizu chazaka. So that's going to be considered a valid chazaka. And what that means to say is that the one who purchased this lekeach, who purchased the properties from the son, cannot go ahead and take it away, this field, from the machzik. Because the machzik could claim and say, look, I had a documentation from the father, and I was careful to safeguard it for 3 years. Now that it's after 3 years, people don't watch their receipts more than that, and I lost it, and I wasn't careful to protect it, because once I knew that I had this already for 3 years and no one ever protested, where, moreover, I didn't know that you had purchased this field from the son at the end of 2 years, which is obvious, which is going to be the Gemara's question, where a lekeach from a son, that the word doesn't get out. And therefore, therefore that wasn't considered as a macha, which we'll see, that's a clear macha generally. If the original owner sells it to someone else within the 3 years, you obviously know you're in trouble if you're the consumer saying, whoa, we're selling someone else, this is my property. So on that says the brisa that no, it is considered valid chazaka, and I didn't hear about, and there's no way that I should know about, that should be considered macha, that I should be kept with my documentation, that for the third year it was sold from this son to the lekech. And I had it for 3 years, and therefore I don't need documentation, this is mine. And that's what the Braisa says, it's chazaka. Ask the Gemara, v'isal g'daitich lekech is lekala. Now if you're going to entertain like the first Braisa, and like Rav, that a lekech, when he buys something with a shtar from the Yairish, that there is a koil, say in lacha macha g'day lemizu, then really there's no greater protest than that, where if at the end of 2 years the son sells it to this consumer, then for sure the machzik should have been careful with documentation for as long as is necessary until he's able to invalidate the documentation of lekeach from the son. But just to have it for 3 years after when he had originally had the document, and then to go ahead and to hold on to it, that's not going to be valid, because as the Gemara said in the Aflam and Avam and Aleph, that regarding a case when it was sold to someone else, the Gemara said the same idea. There's no greater protest. The original owner goes and sells it to someone else. How are you selling it? Obviously, you know that he's protesting if he's claiming it's not yours if he's selling it to someone else. So that the question is, if you're saying in the first brisa that the lekeach from the third year is going to establish a chazaka from the father who had originally eaten it 1 year and the son another year and the lekeach another year, it's considered a chazaka regarding the original owner. Obviously, we're saying the original owner, the ma'ar, should have protested because he heard about the lekeach having it the third year. Now, how do we understand this case where it's going to be considered a chazaka the other way around, but he heard about the lekeach buying it, which that's a protest against his chazaka. He should have had to hold on to the shtar, and it shouldn't be considered a chazaka. So that says the Gemara, Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says, no, truthfully, I would tell you, as it's clear from the first Bryson, like Rav says, that a lekeach, when he buys something from the son, from the Yairish, it is considered that there is a kal. The word gets out. But ki tanyahi, when did we learn the second Bryson? Why isn't it considered macha when this lekeach, after the second year, bought it from the son? Is because we're talking about b'meicher, when the son sold him all of Sadais of Stam. He sold all of the fields that he inherited from his father in general, regarding all his father's fields. Now, The Lekeach is claiming that also this field I bought that you're being machzik because that's part of all the properties that I bought from the son. Well, that's where we tell that Lekeach, which is why we say it's a chazaka for the machzik, that no, all the fields were sold to you except for this field. But you're right. That's what the Gemara, that's what Papa's answering. If the son had sold specifically this field that the machzik is in within the third year, well, then of course the chazak of the machzik would be void because there's no greater mocha than that, and they should have held on to his documentation. But the fact that he sold all the properties, that doesn't say anything. It means everything but what was sold off. And since he had bought this, at least that's what he's claiming, and no one ever protested, that would be considered a valid chazakah, and it wouldn't be considered a mocha that he sold all the properties, because all the properties means everything but this piece of property. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again continuing on this theme about the topic of our parak regarding making chazakah in a piece of property. Now our Mishnah continues in a related discussion regarding other types of chazakas and what are not considered valid chazakas. So says the Mishnah, Ha'umnin, these are craftsmen that generally people would bring their utensils to the homes of these craftsmen, for example, like a dyer who would dye an article of clothing, or a launderer, or a tailor, or someone that would comb the clothing, where he has this guy's jacket. And you're claiming that I have it because I bought it. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to say, that all these cases do not have a chazaka. Now, as Rashbam points out, this is not like the previous Mishnayos of our parak regarding the halacha of cheskes gemoshonim that he has to have it for 3 years, because generally, a craftsman is only by somebody that's a movable item. Now, the whole halacha of cheskes gemoshonim that you have to have for 3 years was only said regarding properties, pieces of land. But by movable items, actually the halacha of chazaka is, if someone has someone else's item even for one moment, where we see that, let's say he's wearing this guy's jacket, even though 5 minutes before, an hour before, he has witnesses that this was always his jacket, the one who's wearing it, who's holding onto it right now, is believed to say that he bought it. Because generally, when someone buys a movable item from his friend, he does it without witnesses and without documentation. Now, the only exception to that halacha would be by regarding things that are usually lent or rented out, and then he claims he bought it, that he's not believed, as the Gemara says, Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, because, what do you mean? People usually lend this, and we all know it was mine. You have to then prove that it wasn't just lent or rented, that you bought it. But regarding something that's not usually lent or rented, then we assume that if the guy has it, that it's his. Now, same thing over here is regarding the craftsman, that even if it's something that's not usually lent or rented, however, but since it's usually given to a craftsman to fix, you give your clothing to the tailor does not have a chazaka to say, whoa, I bought this from this person. Because since there are witnesses that we always knew this was this person's jacket, this person's blouse, and now they're claiming that we only gave it to you to fix it, that we say that the uman is assumed to be that he did not buy it, and it was just given to him to fix, and therefore the fact that they're holding on to it does not give them the chazaka that it's theirs. So too, v'hashutfen, regarding partners, which they had purchased a piece of land in a joint partnership. And then one of the partners goes and he takes possession of his friend's part, and he goes and consumes the produce for 3 years. That's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. It's not going to be a chazaka, because it's normative for partners to eat, where this one eats it for 3 years or 4 years, and then afterwards the other partner eats all of that for 4 years. And therefore the fact that he's been here and he's been eating his partner's share for 3 years, that's not a proof, because that's how partnerships usually are. You have it for 4 years and I'll have it for 4 years, and therefore that's not going to establish a chazaka. So to Varisan, regarding sharecroppers, regarding someone that's a worker that goes to someone else's property and they have a contract where he's gonna offer the land and he's gonna do the labor and he's gonna get half or a third or a quarter of the profits. If he comes and claims and says, look, I've been on this property for many years already and I've been eating all the produce, so that's my chazaka. That's what it really is. Someone that's been here using the utility for 3 uncontested years, and that says the Mishnah is not a chazaka. Because the Mi'ara could say, what do you mean? Of course I didn't protest. I hired you to come down and do sharecropping on my field. And you always paid me for the produce that's my part, or at least even if you didn't pay me, but it was a debt that you're going to ultimately pay me. Or additionally, what could be said why it's not a chazakah is because it's the custom of sharecroppers where they work on a certain property for 10 years. For 5 years, the owner eats all the produce of the field, and then after, the sharecropper eats all the produce for 5 years. So although we see him now for 5 uncontested years where he's eating all the produce, that's not a proof, because since we know he's a sharecropper, there's no reason for us to assume that he bought it. We would rather more assume, and that's why it's not a chazakah, that he's been working in this part of the contract of sharecropping. So too, in the same category of exclusion is vapetropin, a caretaker. Also the same idea, enlem chazaka, they don't have a chazaka, all these categories, because a caretaker too is, obviously we know he was hired to take care of the things, the fact that he's been here, what do you mean, you're the manager, of course no one's going to contest you, and that does not give him the chazaka that for us to assume that he had bought it and that it's his. Moreover, continues the Mishnah, loy le'ish, and neither for a husband who was consuming the produce of his wife's nichsi melug, which are certain type of properties which the wife maintains the primary ownership, and if the husband was consuming the produce, he does not have a chazaka b'nichsi ishta. That does not give him the chazaka in his wife's properties, because actually that's the normative process where the husband has the rights to eat the produce of his wife's nichsi melug. But if, let's say, if he divorces her, the wife will take her nichsi melug back with her, and actually the Gemara is going to ask, that's pretty obvious, because that's the halacha that he eats it. Why would we entertain to say that that gives him a chazaka in his wife's nichsi melug? So to the other way, b'loy le'isha chazaka b'nichsi baila, neither does a wife. If let's say she was eating the produce of her husband's field for a period of 3 years, that does not give her the ability to claim that she had bought it from her husband and therefore it's hers, because to the contrary, since the husband has a responsibility to feed his wife, so therefore he went and let her eat the produce of his field. Yeah, 3 years, 10 years, however long they're married, and the Gemara's going to ask, that also seems to be pretty obvious. So to v'loy la'av b'nechse ben, neither does a father have the ability to be machzik in his son's properties. And b'loy le ben b'nechse av, neither the son in his father's properties, because they're similar to what the category of apotropos is, which is caretaker, because that's what fathers and sons do. The father will take care of his son's property for 10 years, and the son will do the same for the father. The fact that they were doing that does not indicate to us, which is the halacha of chazaka, that they had bought it and that it's theirs. Now, the Mishnah makes an important qualification. When did we say all the halachas of this Mishnah, previous Mishnahs in this Perek, that we said that, let's say in this Mishnah, that these individuals, the partners or the craftsmen or the sharecropper, that their chazaka is not going to be a chazaka. And also, let's say regarding the other halachas in the previous Mishnahs, that we said that are those that they will be a chazaka, but that you need to have 3 years, and that qualifies the Mishnah, that's only b'machzik. Whereas the Gemara will explain what that means to say is by someone that takes possession and uses the field together with a claim, and there's a dispute over it where his friend is contesting it and saying that it's not his field and I never sold it to you. So that's what we said. So that's where it's going to require, let's say, 3 years and a chazaka with a taina. Aval, but says the Mishnah, let's say b'neisen matana. Let's say in front of us, someone gives someone else a gift. And he admits, and he tells the person, go ahead and do a chazaka on it, take possession of it, which we know the halacha is that land gets acquired in one of three ways, with money, documentation, or with a chazaka. Now, that chazaka, although it's the same word, is fundamentally different, because the chazaka that we've been mentioning in this parak called Cheskas Abatim is actually as a symptom. It's a litmus test for us to know that the person, what he's claiming, is true. But it's not the cause, it's just a simon. Here, it's a siba, what we're about to describe. It's the actual acquisition to go ahead and acquire the land. Oh, so that's what the Mishnah is coming to say, that if you even just put up a door or a wall, then that automatically is a chazaka to acquire that gift. Or let's say va'achan shecholku, regarding brothers who they want to divide the father's estate that they inherited, and each one wants to merit in his part so that the other brother cannot retract. Or v'hamachzik b'nichsi hager, someone wants to take possession of a Jewish convert that converted to Judaism that passed away without any children, and he doesn't have any inheritors because he was never a Jew. Now, whoever comes first and takes possession of his properties merits on it. So then says the Mishnah, then that's a whole different halacha. Then null, if he even just closes, meaning if he even just makes a door, or the gadar, or if he makes just the wall of separation, or parets, or let's say he makes a doorway, he opens up a wall so that you could enter into it, even kosher, even if it's just a minute amount, which we'll explain what that is, harizu chazaka, that already immediately is considered a chazaka, so that no one else can retract from what he did, because since that was done with permission of the friend, meaning in regards to, let's say, the one who gifted it to him, or his brother who he's splitting with it, or the convert who doesn't have anyone, but therefore the one who's doing it has the right to, that chazaka is a kinyan of chazaka, that is immediately, that you don't that's even by a craftsman, that's by all these cases, and so too you don't need to have gimel shanim. That's only for the halacha of when there's it being contested and it's being used as a simon, as a symptom. That's where the halachas of our parak were. But regarding the kinyan of chazaka, that's even with just one little thing, because since you had permission, that automatically creates the kinyan, the acquisition of chazaka. Now the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis and says that actually, that Avu de Shmuel v'Levi, Avu, the father of Shmuel and his colleague Levi, Tanu, they actually had their girsa in our Mishnah. They learned that the Mishnah said Shutuf. It spoke about all the different cases that are exceptions to halacha of chazaka, being partners and apotropisin, those that are caretakers. That it said that in lechazaka, that he doesn't have a chazaka, because as we said, there's a reason why they're here. It's not an indicator that they bought it. But because shekein uman, and that uman, regarding the first case of our Mishnah that we have in our girsa, in the text of our Mishnah regarding a craftsman, that according to them actually didn't have it in the Mishnaic text, because it doesn't have to say it, because it's a kol shekein. We know it most definitely that there's not going to be a chazaka, because if we're saying regarding, let's say, a partner, who there the halacha is that they're not going to be a chazaka, most definitely regarding a craftsman that doesn't even have a share in the property to say a migui, to say like, okay, there's something we could understand that since he had a portion that we can entertain to say that he purchased the other part from his partner. And that the Mishnah is saying that even over there, there's not going to be, by a shutif, there's not going to be a chazaka, most definitely, regarding a craftsman that doesn't even have any rights whatsoever. Most definitely, there the halacha is that it was given to him just to fix, and there's no reason for us to even tell you that a uman doesn't have a chazaka. So it wasn't even said in the Mishnah, because it's learned that there's a kol shekein from a shutif. That's the way the father of Shmuel and Levi had learned our Mishnah. Now, Shmuel learned in the halacha of our Mishnah, that it does say uman in loy chazaka, that a craftsman does not have a chazaka. However, he had learned that contrary to our gears in our Mishnah, that shutav yesh loy chazaka. He actually learned the text of a Mishnah that a partner has a chazaka, where if he's in his partner's share for over 3 years, it actually is considered as an indicator that it's his, that he bought it. Because if it would be true that his partner did not sell him his share, then the partner should have been working the field and eating the produce that he has a partnership with his partner. Why wasn't he? Obviously, it's an indicator that his partner did buy him out. And therefore, to the contrary, actually, a shutav would have a chazaka. Now, the Gemara tells us that Ba'azda Shmuel Tameh, Shmuel, who has this teaching in our Mishnah that a shutav has a chazaka, goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. Because the Amr Shmuel said, Hashutaf in the halacha regarding partners as follows. First of all, machzikin zeh al zeh. They could create, which are exactly as the halacha we just said, which is Shmuel l'shitasai. He said that if one of the partners makes a chazaka in his own portion and his friend's portion for 3 years, it is going to be considered a legitimate chazaka. Another halacha regarding partners are u'me'idin zeh al zeh, that each partner could testify regarding a halacha monetarily regarding his partner's portion, to establish it that it's considered his partner's. In other words, if let's say someone from the marketplace protests regarding not his half, but regarding his partner's half, he's allowed to testify to say, no, it belongs to his partner. And the chiddush in that is, as the Gemara will explain on the next daf, is that he's not considered a negeya bedavar. Because okay, there's a bias, just like for oneself, one's not believed. Here also, the partner, there might be some bias that's going to come relative to one's partner. And that we say that no, Shmuel says that one partner could testify regarding his partner's half. And also, v'nasim shem yisachar zeh lazeh. And that is, if let's say the item that they own in joint partnership gets stolen from the house of one of the partners, so then that partner has to compensate the other partner for his loss as a shemir sachar, which if it gets stolen, he's liable like a paid guardian. Now, why is he considered like a paid guardian, not doing it for free? Is because just like he's watching it, his friend is also going to have to watch it the same amount of time that he's watching it, and that's considered a gain. So therefore, that's like a gain that he's getting for watching it. It's that reward, that compensation is that his friend's going to have to watch it too, so he's like a shemir sachar. Those are three halachas that Shmuel said regarding shutafin, and one of them is regarding this halacha that a shutaf could be machzik in his partner's half if he's there for more than 3 years. Now, on this halacha of Shmuel, the Gemara tells that Rami le Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Abba posed the following contradiction to Rabbi Huda when they were b'ma'arta de Be'er B'zaka. They were in the cave of the household of Rabbi Zaka, or the gear says b'ma'arta, in the pressing house of Rabbi Zaka. But he said, Mi Amr Shmuel, did Shmuel really say, like we just quoted before, that Shutef Yesh le Chazaka, that a partner has a chazaka if he has his partner's shear for more than 3 years. We consider it, that's an indicator that it's his. On that, asked the Gemara, but V'amr Shmuel, he asked him, he said, but Shmuel contradicts himself. Because he says somewhere else that a shutif, a partner that takes possession in the whole entire field, meaning not only in his part, but also his friend's part, and he works the whole field, Shmuel says he has the halachic status, like somebody that his friend gave permission and actually told him to take his place, meaning like a sharecropper, and I give you permission, go ahead and work my field. Now, what does that mean when you're saying that a partner, when he's working the other partner's half, that he's like someone that has permission to go down and work the field, meaning like a sharecropper, which is, yeah, come and work my field, and we'll split the profits. Lav lememra, isn't that to say? What's Shmuel saying with those words? The shutef ain lei chazaka. He's saying that a partner does not have a chazaka, meaning just like a sharecropper who has permission. If there's no permission, then why are you there? Why didn't he protest that indicated that it's yours? But like a sharecropper, for example, who has permission to work the land, there, as we said in our Mishnah, there is no chazaka. So here also it seems Shmuel seems to be saying that a shutef does not have a chazaka. Now later on the Gemara is going to explain that actually this halacha of Shmuel, that he's saying a shutef is like yerid b'shuz, is not only for this halacha to say that he doesn't have a chazaka. It's also for other things Shmuel said that is like a yerid b'shuz dami, from the fact that he didn't say explicitly the words shutef ein lechazaka. Why do you use the ambiguous words of saying that he's like a yerid b'shuz? Because it teaches other halachas. But one of the halachas seemingly he's teaching is that he does not have a chazaka, which contradicts his other halacha that a shutef has a chazaka. And that says the Gemara, you're right, but like kasha, it's not a difficulty. Because they're talking about different cases. Ha denachas lekula. One of the halachas of Shmuel is talking about where one of the partners goes and takes possession of the whole entire field that they had both purchased in partnership. And ha denachas lepalga. The other halacha of Shmuel was talking about when one of the partners doesn't take possession of the whole field. He takes possession of half the field, but he takes the better half. That's the part that he takes possession of. And he claims, he says, that we split it, and this was what we decided is going to be my portion, and he ends up staying there for a period of more than 3 years, and therefore he's saying, I was machzik on this half. Now the other one is claiming, it's not true, we never divided it. Rather, that was our condition that we made between the two of us, that one of us is going to eat the better half for 3 years, and then I'm going to eat after you the next 3 years, but it wasn't that you got it and it's yours forever. So those are the two different halachas of Shmuel. Now, the Gemara actually tells us, Amri lo lahai gisa, now those who say it this way, v'amri lo lahai gisa, those who say it the other way. In other words, when we say that there are those who say it this way, meaning that those who answer and explain that when we say that the two different halachas of Shmuel, one that says that a shutef has a chazaka, one that says he doesn't have a chazaka, that one is talking about when he goes and takes possession of the whole thing for 3 years, another one is talking about when he takes possession of half, but the better half for 3 years, there's actually two different ways of interpreting which one is which. In other words, the first interpretation says that those who say that Shmuel, that when he says that a partner has a chazaka, when he takes possession of his friend's portion that is a chazaka, is when he's nachas lekula. When he takes possession of the whole entire field for 3 years, it indicates that not only does he have his share, but he actually bought his friend's share too. Now, the reason for that is because this opinion holds that the custom of partners is that they take it and they share the produce in a partnership. Every single year, they split the profits. Or this guy takes half, this half of the land, and this guy takes the other half of the land. Then the next year, they do the opposite. What this guy took last year, the other one takes the other half this year. Because each one wants to have benefit every single year of what they bought in partnership. Now, therefore, this guy who let his friend take possession of the whole entire field for 3 years, that's the indicator that most definitely he must have sold it. Because if it was still a partner, he would have split it with him every single year. And he wouldn't have let him take the whole thing. So that's why it's going to be a chazaka. Versus that when the Shmuel say that one partner is not going to be considered having taken a chazaka regarding what he split with his partner, that's when he's what's called nochas lepalka, when he takes possession of half of it. There, it's not going to be considered a chazaka because that's normal what partners do. This guy takes this half this year and the other one takes the other half next year, or that for 3 years and 4 years you'll take this half because it's every year to switch. That's too hard. And then afterwards, I'll go ahead and I'll take the better half and I'll have it for 4 years. So since that's normative, therefore that's not going to be considered a chazaka. Now, but v'amr lo lahagis, like we said in the Gemara, that those who say the other way, actually, that when he's nachas lekula, when he takes possession of the whole land that they had bought in partnership, that's not going to be considered chazaka, because this interpretation holds that actually that's the normative process of partners, where okay, look, we bought the fields, but you'll eat it, the whole thing, for 3 years, and then I'll have the 3 years. And that's why this guy can't claim that he bought his other partner's portion, because that's normal how they do. You'll take it for now, and I'll take it for, you know, 5 years later. Now, but when he's nachas lapalga, when he takes half of it, let's say the better half, then it's going to be considered chazaka, because that's logical to say that they split it. Because if it was true that he's just letting him, that he's letting him have his portion the whole entire year, then he wouldn't have waited 3 or 4 years after his friend, like the custom of partners is, because then he shouldn't have let his friend to select only this portion by itself. He would have let him take the whole thing. Rather, he would have done it in partnership, and they would have split the produce. And the fact they let him take this half for that amount of years is an indicator that he actually sold him that part, that they actually divided, and this was actually his portion. So again, so that's one answer to resolve the contradiction of Shmuel, where actually it could go either way according to two different interpretations of the Gemara, when it says one is nachas l'kula, one is nachas l'palga, which one is that that's when he says there is a chazaka, and when is it that then he says that there's not going to be a chazaka. Another resolution the Gemara brings, Ravina Amar, he says that actually, no, havaha de nachas l'kula b'lay kasha. Both halachas of Shmuel, which one is saying that a shutav has a chazaka, one saying that there's no chazaka, are both talking about when the partner takes possession of the whole entire field that they bought in partnership. So how do we resolve the contradiction? Ha de isba din chaluka. One of the cases is talking about that the field is big enough that there's enough to divide it for both of them to use it at the same time, where if, after you divide it, each part will have 4 amas for themselves, then is where we say that it's going to be chazaka if one partner took the whole thing, because since there's enough for each one to split it, so it's not the normative custom for one guy to let his friend use it for 3 years, unless if he sold it to him, because we could both be using it at the same time. There's enough for us to subdivide it, and you could use it at the same time as I'm using it. So for the fact that there was room and they didn't, that shows us that this guy was using the whole thing, that he actually bought it, and then it's going to be a chazaka. Ha, the less but then chalukah. But the other halacha of Shmuel was told about that there's not enough to subdivide it. There, if one guy's using it the whole field for 3 years, it's not going to be a chazaka, because then it is the normative custom for one guy, you know, because he can't subdivide it. One guy used it for 3 or 4 years, the whole thing. And then this guy, because again, since they can't both use it at the same time, they're not going to subdivide it. So you'll use it, and I'll take it 4 years afterwards. And actually says Rashbam, that is the halacha, like this answer of Ravina, where because of that assumption that that's the halacha, the Rashbam actually asks, so that the Gemara had brought early enough Chavtes Mabeis by Rame Bacham and Rabbi Ukva Bachama that they brought a maidservant in partnership, where one of them used it the first, third, and fifth year, and the other one used it the second, the fourth, and the sixth year, where the Gemara there explains that the reason why they did it like that is that they shouldn't be allowed to make a chazaka one on the other. Says Rashbam, the truth is actually, even if each one would have used it 3 continuous years in a row, it still wouldn't be a chazaka. Because like our Gemara is saying over here, because you can't subdivide a maidservant to be working at the same time by both people. So therefore, as we said over here in the answer of Vina, that's not going to be a chazaka. Now, so then why did they have to then do first, third, and fifth, if anyway, it's not going to be a chazaka? So that answers the Rashbam is because maybe the witnesses at the end of 3 years are not going to know that it was even bought as a partnership. And then they're going to, the one who's in possession of it is going to claim that he wasn't even a partner. And then his chazaka would be a chazaka. Here we're talking about where we know that they're partners. The only question is now, even now, post that we know they're partners, but why is he here? Maybe he bought it. And then we're saying that, no, even 3 years straight, if it cannot be subdivided, it's not a chazaka. There the problem would have been that they wouldn't have remembered that she was even bought in a partnership. And that's why they had to do 1, 3, and 5, and he did years 2, 4, and 6. Now the Gemara goes back now to explain the different halachas that we mentioned from Shmuel's halacha. Gufa, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Shutif ki yerid b'shustami. So one of the halachas that we quoted was that Shmuel says, and we use that as a question to ask, is that a partner is like someone that comes down to someone else's property, which he's going to his partner's property and he's working the field. It's like someone that comes to the field with permission, and that's the type of halachic status that he has. So the Gemara asked on the terminology, and we alluded to this earlier, Maikamash Malon, what is Shmuel teaching us by saying this sentence? Obviously, like we mentioned before, and we had used this to ask this on the other halach of Shmuel, that Shutfis Ein Lechazaka, that a partner cannot take possession of his partner's field by working it, even for a period of 3 years, because you're like an oris, where the guy let you come in. The fact that you're here is not an indicator that you own it. The guy let you. If he let you, it's not an indicator. If he wouldn't normally let you, because why? Who would let anyone come into their field and work it and do all the things? That's why it's chazaka. Here's not a chazaka, because you're like an aris, that you're allowed to. So if that's what this halacha of Shmuel is coming to say, which we explained the previous answer in the Gemara, how does that resolve with the other statement that says that there is a chazaka? But ask the Gemara, le mishutav in le chazaka. Why say it in this cryptic way of saying that he's like a yari b'shus? Why don't you just say that a partner doesn't have a chazaka? So Amar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bravu, he says, it's actually coming to teach us other halachas. It's coming to teach us, yes, A, it's teaching us that a shutav does not have a chazaka, but it's also teaching an additional halacha. Leimer is coming to tell us, shenoytel, that this partner who's coming to work and planting and reaping all the things in his partner's half, is that he comes and he takes from the shears of the profits of his partner's half, like a shearcropper who comes to the field to work in it with permission, and that is even b'shvach ha-megi l'chesvayim, that even for the benefits that reach to the shoulders, meaning even when the produce has been completed, for example, when you have the standing grain to be reaped or the grapes to be picked, that this one, the partner who's working in his partner's field, takes all of the half of the profits like a sharecropper of the city, meaning, and that even by besodah she'ena suyalita, and the chiddush here, what's coming to say is even if it's a field that's not usually used to plant trees, rather it's usually, let's say, planted for vegetation, and still this partner who worked in his partner's half planted trees, he takes all of the rights like an arus, kisada hasuilita, like a field that is meant to plant trees in it. Meaning, just like someone who comes down to a field with permission, meaning he's authorized to work over there, then it's like as if it's made for that because he was hired to do that. The same thing will apply to a partner, even though it's actually not made for that. It's as if it is made for that, as if he was told and authorized, like a Yerid B'Shus, to go ahead and do this. Now, what's that halachic ramification? Is because if, let's say, we would consider him as someone who's what's called Yerid Shloi B'Shus, where he doesn't have permission. Now, he's obviously doing his partner a favor because his partner's not doing anything, but he still doesn't have permission because, let's say, this field's not meant for planting trees, meant just for planting vegetables, and he goes and he plants a tree. If we would consider him as Shloi B'Shus, then actually the halacha would be we would evaluate the profit, the benefit that he made for his partner, and he would have what's called the lower hand, meaning, so let's say the profit was more than the expenses that he put into working in his partner's half, he would only take the expenses that he invested. And if the expenses are actually more than the profit that comes out, he would only take according to his expenses according only the amount that the profit was there. As the Gemara explains this halacha of Yoyich Shalei B'Shus and Bab Metzia and Daf Kafalav Medalf, where if someone goes into someone else's field and he plants without permission, Rav says, we evaluate, and he has the lower hand like we just described that halacha. Now Shmuel says that actually we evaluate how much would a person want to give for this field to plant a tree in there. Now Rapapa explains that they're actually not disagreeing. Shmuel is talking about a sadah hasuyalita, a field that's meant for planting a tree. And then this guy plants a tree, that gets a higher evaluation. Rav is talking about a field that's not meant for planting. So it's not meant for planting. So you're like a yarid shalei b'shus, so then you get what's called yode al tachtayna. Now, here, the chiddush, what Shmuel is saying is that we consider a partner like as if he's Yerid B'Shus, as if he was authorized and he was coming in with permission to do the work that he's doing in his partner's half. So therefore he takes, even though it's, let's say, a sada that's not meant to plant a tree, he gets as if it is a field that's meant to plant a tree. Because that's the halacha, when you're authorized, so then you get according to the benefit of what you're contributing to that field that you're working on. Now, had Shmuel only said, as the Gemara's question, shutav in le chazaka, a partner does not have a chazaka, which is one of the halachas that's inferred from saying that he's like a what we call an aris, that's a yerid b'shus, who is not establishing a chazaka then because there's a reason why he's here, he was allowed to come here, then we would have thought to say that he would have the lower hand, because that would make sense, because since he really wasn't authorized by his partner to do anything, then he would get yad al tachtayna, like Rav had said over there, that's the chiddush of Shmuel, that no, it's like a sad hasuyalita, that in other words, that we do consider him, although he really wasn't authorized by his partner, but since he's a partner, and the understanding of partners are that we'll take care of each other, then he's like a yerid b'shus, and therefore, even though it's a sad hasuyalita, he'll get like a sad hasuyalita, he will get what's called, that we're going to be shaman loy. We're going to evaluate how much a person would want to give, and that's how much is the normal going price, and that's how much the partner is going to get in what he's doing in his partner's half.